I'm excited to introduce Pastor Daniel Stevens to you. He actually pastors the church where my dad pastored for almost 30 years, and my brother Josh after that, so the church I grew up in from the time I was three in Anderson, Indiana. He came to Christ as a teenager at a camp. I've asked him to share part of his testimony with you because it's a remarkable testimony of God's amazing grace in his life. He did go to Pensacola to college. He played for their basketball team there, and we'll forgive him for going to Pensacola. I know we have a lot of good friends there. He ended up receiving his doctorate from Piedmont International University. He served for several years at various churches in Alabama and Virginia, and then was president of Virginia Baptist College before taking the pastorate in 2017 of Grace Baptist Church in Anderson, Indiana. He has his wife, Summer, and three children, ages 13, 9, and 3, all of whom are athletic and play basketball and golf and all of that. But I've asked him to come, and he's here from Indiana, and particularly share with you the testimony of God's remarkable grace in his life.
It's great to be here with you today and to be on the campus of Bob Jones University. Sunday night, I had the opportunity to share my testimony as I was asked to do there at Morningside Baptist Church. And then after the service on Sunday, Dr. Crockett emailed me and asked me if I would do the same thing today. And so if you were at Morningside, I am sorry that you're going to go through this again. I know several of you are from Grace and Anderson, and I'm sorry again, this is probably your fifth or sixth time to hear this, and so maybe you can come and give it for me. But if you would take your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm excited to see so many that are interested to go into the ministry. I know some of you probably want to be pastors, missionaries, and so many different roles that we have in ministry, and I'm grateful for that. And I want to tell you and that I'll be praying for you as you go through your schooling and as we need more and more people in the ministry. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 12, "And I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." This is a passage of Scripture that is near and dear to my heart, as I am very grateful that the Lord saw fit to put me into the ministry. In the next couple of verses, Paul describes to us why he is an unlikely person to be in the ministry. He tells us that he was a blasphemer, and we all know that he was the enemy of God and the cause of Christ. But in verse number 13, he says, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." In verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And I can echo those words as I have experienced the mercy and grace of God to bring me to where I am today and to allow me the opportunity to be in ministry. And I hope today to challenge you with this very thought. We never know who God is going to use. And so as you go out into ministry, you're going to come across many different people from many different backgrounds and different lifestyles and different situations. And we never know who God is going to use. Father, I thank you for this time, and I pray, Lord, that you would bless this next few moments that we have together and challenge our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, to a teenage mother. My father, my biological father, when he found out that my mom was pregnant with me, decided to break off the relationship and left. I grew up, and then once my mom was of age, she became a bartender, and when I was 4 years old, she had another child, and so I have a half-brother who's 4 years younger than me, and through my childhood, my mom was a bartender and would work nights. I remember many times doing my homework in the back room of a bar, where in just the next room, there were drunks and people drinking and just doing all those type of things, and as I grew up, I became responsible. I remember at 9 years old, basically, I became responsible for me and my younger brother, as my mom would work nights, and I would take care of him, make sure that we both ate and got to bed, make sure that we both got to school the next day, those type of things. When I was 16 years old, my mom came to me and said, "We're going to move out of Chicago." And I want you to understand, I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, In the city. Most people, when they tell me they're from Chicago, I ask them what suburb they're from, because most people are not from Chicago. They're from a suburb around there. But I actually grew up in the city. I grew up near Wrigley Field, and I lived on a city block that had thousands of people, basically, in apartment buildings. And so my mom comes to me and says, we're going to move to Water Valley, Mississippi. And I want you to understand, it's as bad as it sounds. All right. Water Valley had it was a town of less than 3,000 people. The nearest Walmart was 30 minutes away in another town. And I was one of the most bitter teenagers that you could ever imagine. The worst thing that could happen to me in my life was to take me out of the city of Chicago, to move me from my friends, from my home, from the people that the lifestyle that I knew. I didn't know it at the time, but later found out that my mother had gotten in some trouble, and she was afraid that she was going to lose me and my brother. And my brother's biological father had moved to Mississippi, and he had remarried, and his family was there, and he had encouraged my mom to bring us down there. And so we moved to Water Valley, Mississippi. I moved there in March of 1995, and I was very angry. But one thing that was a big part of my life was basketball. And so I played basketball for 8 hours a day, basically during the summers. I'd play all evening after school hours growing up in Chicago. And after I moved to Mississippi, I made a couple of friends who played basketball as well. And we would go to different outdoor basketball courts to play basketball. And there was one church, Faith Baptist Church, there in the town that had an outdoor basketball court. And we would go there, and the pastor of the church would allow us to play basketball. And it was one Saturday that we were out there playing, and there was a guy that came out by the name of Shane Lewis. And Shane, he came out. He was the youth pastor of the church, and he would play. He played basketball with us, and we were getting ready to leave. And he said, "Hey, you know, tomorrow we have church. Why don't you guys come and join us at church?" And all of my friends were like, "No, we don't want to go to church." And I had no idea what church really was. Didn't grow up in church. Never heard the gospel. And since they didn't want to go, I was like, yeah, it's probably not something I want to do either. So I didn't go. The next Saturday, we were back out there playing, and Shane had come back out again, and he had learned that I was from Chicago. And of course, in 1995, it was the height of the Bulls dynasty and Michael Jordan, and I was a big Chicago Bulls fan. And so he said, hey, why don't you guys come over tonight, and we'll have dinner, and we'll watch the Bulls playoff game together. And so we decided that we would do that. And so we went over and had dinner with him and his wife and watched the playoff game. And as we were getting ready to leave, he said, hey, tomorrow, why don't you guys come to church? And of course, all of my friends said, you know, we're not going to go to church. We don't want to go to church. And I thought to myself, you know, this guy had me over for dinner. The least I could do is show up for church. And so it was a small independent Baptist church, about 80 people. And so I walked in the back doors and came down the center aisle and sat about three quarters of the way back. And I want you to understand, I didn't look like your typical independent Baptist teenager at that time. I had my ear pierced. My hair was a little longer. My clothes were different than what they were wearing to church. And so I walked in just before the service started, and I sat down, and they went through the singing, and the preacher stood up and began to preach. All of a sudden, somebody tapped me on the shoulder. It was a guy. I looked up, and he asked me if I had a Bible, and I said no, and he asked me what my name was, and I told him my name is Daniel Stevens, Stevens with a V. I have to be very clear. I spell it the correct way, not with a P-H. And so he, at that time, scratched his name out of his Bible and wrote my name in the Bible and handed me that Bible, and I still have that Bible on my shelf today. You know, that day I experienced something that I really never experienced much in my life. Now, I know my mother loved me. I believe my mother did what she could do to raise me based on what she knew. But that day, I experienced the love of Christ in that church. I mean, you would have thought in that small church of about 80 people, I was the greatest thing that ever happened to them. I mean, they cared for me. They genuinely acted like they were glad that I was there. I mean, most people did not want me around as a teenager and did not care for me in that way. And so I kept going to church. And that summer, they said, hey, we're going to go to youth camp, and we want you to go. And I was like, well, I don't have any money. And they said, oh, we'll take care of it. We want you to go. Just get your mom to sign the permission slip. And so they took me to Triple S Christian Camp in Rosebud, Arkansas. I didn't think there was anywhere worse than Water Valley, Mississippi, but I found it in Rosebud, Arkansas. And so there it was, June 9th, 1995. There was a guy by the name of Johnny Pope preaching. Never heard this man before, didn't know who he was. Thursday night, that night week, he preached on hell. And I realized that if I were to die, based on what he was saying, that I would go to hell. during the invitation, many people were walking forward, and I went over to our youth pastor, Shane, and I said, you know, I need to talk to you. And so he took me off into a field in Rosebud, Arkansas. This camp was the most primitive place I had ever been. I mean, they literally dug their own swimming pool with shovels, I mean, at that point. But we were there in a field in Arkansas, and he shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that night, I trusted Christ as my Savior. So we went back back home, and on Saturday, camp was over. We went home, and I got home, and I walked in, and I told my mom, I said, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm a Christian. And so now I need to transfer to the Christian school because that's what Christians do. Every Christian teenager I knew went to the Christian school there at our church. And so she's like, we can't afford that. And so on Sunday, I went to church and I was baptized. And I expressed to the pastor that I wanted to go to the Christian school. And they said, listen, if you'll pay us $40 a month, $40 a month, you can come to our Christian school. Well, I had worked a job at our grocery store locally. It was for about 35 hours a week, and I knew I could afford to pay $40 personally, and so I signed up. My mom transferred me to the Christian school in August. I started going to the school. In November, my mom got in trouble, and she had a boyfriend that had robbed a convenience store and was arrested, and then she worked at another convenience store. She wound up stealing money from that convenience store where she was the manager, bailed him out, and they left. And they went off and left me there in Mississippi. And the next day, literally the next day, they got arrested. My mom was sent to prison. There was a couple weeks there that I was by myself, and the pastor at the church and the Christian school realized what was going on. And so he called me into his office one day, and he started talking to me about this. And he's like, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I work. I'll try to pay my bills. And he's like, we can't let you live by yourself at 16 years old. And he said, come back tomorrow and we'll figure out what we're going to do. And the next day, I walked into his office, and it was the pastor and his wife and their son, Shane, who was the youth pastor, and their two grown daughters who also went to our church. And he said, why don't you have a seat? And of course, I'm nervous. I have no idea what's going on here, what I'm going to do in life. And my assumption is they're going to try to find some of my family back in Chicago to send me back to. And I sat down and he said, listen, we discussed it as a family, and we want to adopt you and bring you into our family. And so that day I became the son of an independent Baptist pastor. And so I remember the day that I took the paperwork to my mom in jail and said, I need you to sign me over to these people so that I can join their family. Now, I went from being the son of a bartender who worked nights and had no authority in my life to being the son of an independent Baptist pastor. And this is the epitome of the independent Baptist, where women don't wear pants, you don't play with playing cards, you don't go to movie theaters. It was a different world. And I want you to know, I was the perfect son after that point going forward. And I know you don't believe that. But it was about 3 months after that happened, my dad calls me in and he says, I will go to the living room and all my stuff is there. And he says, you have to make a decision. He said, you have to decide whether you're going to be a part of this family and do what we say, or you're going to have to move out and go somewhere else. That day I made a decision in my life that I was going to obey my parents and do what they say. So it was time for me to go to college. I never thought about college. I never heard of Christian college. My brother Shane went to Pensacola. My sister Denise came to Bob Jones. They had taken me to both of those. I also had the opportunity to visit Crown College and practice with their basketball team. And the coach said to me, if you come here, basically you'll start next year and play a lot. So I went home and I said, Dad, I'm going to go to Crown. And he said, no, you're not. You're going to Pensacola. So guess where I went to college? I went to Pensacola because that's what my dad said. During my time at Pensacola, I dated two girls very seriously, and I brought both of them home to meet my mom and dad. And within 10 minutes of being in my home, my mom pulled me aside in the kitchen and said, this is not the girl for you to marry. So you know what I did? I broke up with them. I waited till the week was over. We got back to school. It would be a long week there. So we got back to school, and I broke up with them. I graduated college, not married, and after I graduated, I met my wife, and we dated long distance. My brother had pastored in Michigan at that time, and I met her through him, and she finally came to meet my mom, and I was super nervous because my past experiences weren't that great with my mom. And so about 10 minutes, 15 minutes after she was there, my mom pulled me aside into the kitchen and said, this is the girl you need to marry. So praise the Lord. So we dated. We dated for 2 years and long distance, and we're getting ready to get married, and I decided that I wanted to go back to grad school. When I went to Bible college, understand, I'd been saved for 2 years. I went to Christian college. I was a Bible major. Understand, and everybody in this room understands what I'm saying. When you go to a Bible college and you're a Bible major, there's expectations on your life. Things what you're supposed to know, how you're supposed to act. And listen, I blended in great, but I had no clue what I was talking about or what I was doing at that time. And I graduated from college and I became a youth pastor. And I was like, who is the pastor that's crazy enough to hire me? And so I went and I was a youth pastor and I knew I needed more education. And so I went back to Pensacola because that's what I knew. And I was there for 2 years and got my MDiv. And I was getting ready to graduate. And I was introduced to a guy by the name of Don Forrester. Don Forrester was the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and he was the president of Virginia Baptist College. He had been blind since he was 10 years old and had 2 earned doctorates and started, him and his wife moved to Fredericksburg in the 70s, knowing nobody, and started these ministries. He contacted me and said, hey, we need a Christian school administrator. Our administrator's stepping down. We have a Christian school of about 415 people. And I said, I have no education background at all. And he said, well, why don't you come up and see the ministry and we'll talk. And we went through that. And so I went through the whole process and they hired me to be the administrator of this large Christian school. And I realized later why he hired me. My wife has her doctorate in physical therapy. I was probably one of the only people that could afford to live in Fredericksburg outside of D.C. because of my wife, and he could pay me very little. And so it wasn't anything about my background or my education. So during that time, he became my mentor in ministry. I made a decision in life. Whatever Dr. Forrester told me to do, I was going to do. So several years went by, and I began to pastor a church of about 40 minutes away, and I was teaching at Virginia Baptist College. One day, he calls me up, and he says, hey, let's go to lunch. And that was normal. And so we went to lunch, and he said, hey, this was in July, and he said, hey, I met with the board, and they voted for you to be the next president of the college. And I was, wow. Praise the Lord. You know, 10, 15 years from now, when you're ready to retire, we'll see where I'm at and see what the Lord has. He goes, no, I'm talking about next week. Remember, I made a decision. Whatever he told me to do, I was going to do. So I became the president of Virginia Baptist College, as well as pastoring Belmont Baptist Church. I told the college that I would give them 3 years. They were going through their reaffirmation of their accreditation. And I was really one of the only people that really knew the college well enough that could help them through the process, plus was academically qualified. At that time, I was working on and finishing my PhD in biblical studies at Piedmont Baptist College at the time, now International University. So after the third year came, I was praying about what I was going to do after that because my heart is in church ministry. And so a friend of mine called me and said, hey, there's this church in Anderson, Indiana that is looking for a pastor. And he says, well, it's a Bob Jones church. Okay, and we all know what that means. And so I said, well, I'm from Pensacola. I said, you know, I don't know how that's going to work. He said, let me send him the resume. So my resume goes there. The chairman of the pulpit committee is a farmer, and he gets a text saying that he got a resume. So he calls his wife and says, hey, I got a resume today. Why don't you look at it and let me know what you think? She calls him a few minutes later and says, yeah, I don't think it's going to work. He's a Pensacola graduate. And so then that night he goes to the pulpit committee and he says, I have this resume. Do you want me to call him? And they said yes. And so the next day he calls me and we talk for about 45 minutes. And he got off the phone, and by his testimony, he left his office and went and told his wife, I just talked to our next pastor. And we went through the process, and eventually the Lord brought me to Grace Baptist Church in Anderson, Indiana. As I look back on my life, I realize being born in Chicago, Illinois, not growing up in church, my mother is a single mom, a bartender, most people would look at me and say there's no hope for this kid. I'm going to be honest. I look at kids in my community and say, based on their parents and their life situation, there's no hope for them. But the reality is, it's not about our perspective, but it's about God's perspective. Paul said, listen, I was the enemy of God, but by his mercy and his grace, he has saw fit to put me in the ministry. I want to encourage you today, as you plan for and train for the ministry, be in ministry today. In the community where you are, there are people all around you that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you never know who God's going to use. But as you get out into the ministry, I want to encourage you to love people, realizing that God can use anybody, even somebody that went to Pensacola Christian College. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be together. And I pray that this is a challenge and encouragement to each one here today. And Lord, I thank you for calling me and calling many in this room into the ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.